Sunday, 27th July, 2014. Theme, World Focus. The introduction to the service was not recorded. The recording picks up with Simon and Solange Wood telling us about their work in Guinea.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Pasteur Simon Wood. And this is Madame Pasteur, Solange Wood. I come from Chester, Emma, originally, and Solange comes from Brazil, although we've been married for how long? 14 years now. So this is Raphael and Beatrice. And we've been working in the Republic of Guinea in West Africa for the last 6 years. We've been working with BMS World Mission, which is a Baptist mission. And we've been working with the Evangelical Protestant Church of Guinea. We've had different roles. My role has been, I've been teaching various courses, all based around mission and cross-cultural mission, in three different Bible schools in Guinea. And as well as that, I've been working with national church leaders to recruit, train, send, and support pastors who are planting churches amongst Muslim people groups. Guinea is a country which is I'm about 80% Muslim. And the major people groups, there are 30 people groups in Guinea, and the major people groups are all Muslim. And they really need to hear the gospel. So, I've been working with pastors, trying to plant churches amongst Muslim people groups. Solange's been doing some other things.
No pressure. I got to say that Simon, Raphael and Beatrice have all been dedicated to the whole Baptist Church. So they've been here for a long time, or been part of this body, of this part of the body for a long time. And I joined the whole Baptist after we got married in 2000. So Simon, Raphael said he hasn't been doing anything, but he's worked really hard. He was five when, he was three when we left Chester. We've been out of Chester for 8 years now. So I went to Guinea with a 5 years old and a 4 months old. And the first 3 years, my main job was looking after the family and homeschooling Raphael. I think we're going to have a time sometime in October where we can talk about the last 6 years properly. Today is just a 5 minutes introduction, so it's over. No. Basically, I've done homeschooling. I taught some student pastors' wives. I had a group of 16 people who couldn't read or write and spoke five different languages. So it was very challenging but very exciting to teach them the Word of God. I used lots of stories and songs and gave them Bible verses where they turned the Bible verses into songs to help them to remember the Bible stories, to then tell other people these stories and teach their children God's Word through song and stories because they weren't able to read. And the past 3 years, I've been teaching English, which is very funny because I'm Brazilian. And I came to England to learn English, and then I did lots of mission training and ended up doing a TEFL course. So that was really exciting. I was teaching English to university students, and I had 36 students. The majority of them were Muslim, and only two of them were female. So I had my time to teach them and to share God's word within the classroom. I had a couple of experiences that was really exciting where I was revising past tense verbs, going forgive, forgave, you know, forget. And one session, I was able to write the Lord's Prayer on the board, and I had all these Muslim students copying the Lord's Prayer, and then I was telling them why, how Jesus taught us to pray, and how God forgives us, and how His love forgives, and how He forgets. And I talk a little bit about this God of love, this loving God that the Muslims don't know. But it was fine for them because they respect Jesus as a prophet. So as I was teaching English, I had a few opportunities here and there to sow God's words as I was doing grammar and vocabulary and all that stuff they have to do in an English lesson. So anyway, it's really exciting to be back. It's really good to have some old people here that we know. And but the majority of you, I don't know. I just want to know who has been here since 2006. There we go. There we go. We know you all. So, but it's very exciting to come back because we come back to a HBC that is like coming back to a new church and to a old church all together. So I find that really exciting because there's a part of the church that we know and there's a huge part of the church that we don't know. So we look forward to get to know you and share God's life with you. Thank you.
Just stay there for a minute. Great. We're so blessed that you're back. Let me just pray for you guys quickly. There's going to be more opportunity later to talk with these guys and join with them in prayer for Guinea and the work and what's going on. But let me just pray for you quickly and pray God's blessing on this morning. Father, we're so blessed that these guys are back with us. We thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we've learned about your faithfulness through their exploits in these last years. So we praise you, God. And yeah, Lord, we were blessed to send them as well. So we thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that in their experience as well, we get a small picture of your plan for the whole world, for all peoples to know how great you are, Lord, and to learn about salvation that is possible through Jesus. We praise you, Lord. And we just invite you by your presence here this morning, Lord, to meet with us, to open our eyes to see you more, Lord, that we would receive more blessing, Lord, and we will be a part of pushing back the boundaries, Lord, of your kingdom in the whole earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Okay, we're going to take the offering now while we watch a short video. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gifts given this morning, Lord. Thank you for all the transactions that have been going on throughout the weeks and months, Lord. We remember the whole earth is yours, Lord. And we thank you that you release your resources to us to expand your kingdom, Lord. And Lord, especially thank you that you bless us so that we are able to bless the nations, Lord. So we dedicate these gifts to your service. And just want to pray as well for the kids who are about to go out. Lord, pray for them, Lord, that you would open their eyes to see you more, that you would bless all of the leaders and helpers, Lord, with wisdom and encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before the kids go out, it said notices on my schedule. Am I supposed to give any notices? Anyone want to say anything? No? Now's your chance. Oh, yes. Oh, they missed you. Oh, there you go. Brilliant. Brilliant. Anyone else? No? I'll be waiting at the end and get you. All right. So now it's time for the kids to go out to their groups. Okay. So what's going to happen for the next bit of this morning is Lucy and I, Lucy's not here, hopefully she'll come back. We just want to share with you for about 10 minutes or so some of the things that we think God's saying to us that we'd like to share with you guys. And then we're going to move into a block of kind of free time where you're going to be active doing some things to wait on God, okay? But I'll explain what that's going to look like in a moment, but just getting you mentally ready. You're not going to sit here for the next half an hour, okay? But yeah, something that God's really been speaking to us about is what discipleship and what making disciples and what mission looks like in our lives. Now, as many of you know, about 3 years ago, we returned from Libya in North Africa, where we'd been part of a team working to make disciples and to plant churches there. And we've been back in this country for about 3 years. And now, we were missionaries when we were doing that, okay? But then we know, don't we, that we're all missionaries, aren't we? We're all missionaries called to different places. But God's really started to speak to us about how, although we know that, the reality in our lives is slightly different. Let me illustrate this for you, okay? Imagine that instead of returning from North Africa, we'd actually been sent from a church in North Africa to be missionaries in Chester, okay? So we were commissioned and sent by a church in North Africa to come and make disciples in Chester. This is our mission field, okay? So we arrive with our family, and quite soon after getting here, we get jobs, which we need to do, okay? But we get jobs that involve long hours, and we're often just in front of the computer, sending emails, writing reports, don't get to spend a lot of time with people. But these are the jobs that were open to us. We had to get them. So although our sending church in North Africa is disappointed, we persevere with these jobs. And then after we've been in Chester for a short time, we realized that actually we don't want to send our kids to that school. Okay, so we move out of Chester. Okay, and it's great because we can afford a bigger house just outside of Chester. We think, oh, this would be good. This would be good for our mission. You know, we've got more space to do discipleship, and it's important where our kids go to school. So we move out of Chester. Again, our sending church is quite disappointed and a little bit perplexed. So why are you doing this? But anyway, they understand our reasons. So we move out of Chester, just outside. But then I really start suffering with the stress of work and, you know, living in a foreign place. And so I think I need something, need some recreation. I need something to release the stress in my mind. So I take up golf. And then I start spending sort of, you know, half my weekend, every weekend playing golf. And it's great. I start to relax. I'm thriving a bit more. And it's good. Again, the sending church is a little bit perplexed why we're doing this, but it's okay. They understand that we need some time, you know, to relax and recharge our batteries. And then after a few months later, we discover HBC. And we're like, oh, brilliant. There's a great bunch of believers here in the city. Let's you know, have fellowship with them. So we start coming along to HBC, and, you know, every weekend we're there, and we get involved with some of their midweek meetings as well, and it's good. You know, we're meeting with like-minded people, and we're getting our batteries recharged, and everything's great. And then our sending church in North Africa, they ask us to do a bit of a time audit, okay, to see how we're spending our time as, we, you know, we're sent missionaries to Chester. And we do this and we realize, actually, we haven't got any time for discipleship. We haven't got any time to meet with non-believers and to share the impact that knowing Jesus makes on my life with them. to bring them closer to Jesus. Now, what does the sending church do in that situation? They say, well, sorry, I think you need to come home. You know, you're not really doing what we sent you there to do. And we don't, you know, we shouldn't really be continuing to support you in this way. Now, what's my point here? My point is not that work is bad. We need to work. My point is not that your kid's education is unimportant. Your kid's education is very important, okay? You have to make hard decisions about that, but that's important. My point is not that being part of HBC is bad, okay? All these things are integral to our lives and even conducive to discipleship, okay? Even golf can be part of that, yeah? My point is that none of these things are bad. My point is that, and this is something that God's been putting on our hearts recently, it's very easy, isn't it, to try and fit discipleship around our lives rather than fitting our lives around discipleship. When we came back from North Africa, going back to reality for a moment, when we came back from North Africa, we switched in our minds very quickly without even really realizing it. We'd been in a situation where our entire lives were dictated by our mission. Where we lived, what we did, who we met with, what we wore, what language we spoke. Everything was dictated by our mission, okay? We switched straight away when we came back, though, to a situation here in the UK where we got all of our lives sorted out, you know, where we're living, what we're doing. We got involved with our church, you know, and different activities going on. And then we've tried to fit discipleship into that, you know, in the cracks, rather than putting discipleship first, putting our mission first, and orienting our lives around that. Now, God is really challenging us with that at the moment. And this is coming from, the leadership are bringing lots of great stuff about discipleship, you know, from the front at the moment. And that's really challenging us. Also, our ongoing relationship and interest in the people that we send as a church to cross-cultural missionaries around and some other people that we know and support, they are challenging us because we continue to see people whose lives are completely oriented by their mission. They don't try and fit discipleship around their lives. They fit their lives around discipleship and the mission that God's put on their heart. Lucy.
I just wanted to mention something briefly. It was so Ben's kind of given one challenge, but before we went to North Africa, both of us had independently, I guess, felt a call that God wanted us to serve abroad. And so we spent maybe a couple of years after we got married really preparing to go. And we prayed about it. And we got a country, a specific country where we were going to go. And then we were preparing language, preparing to try to get jobs, and just really praying into what God wanted us to do. So I'm a bit breathless. There's something pushing up on my lungs down here. But one of the things that amazed us the most, I think, and really humbled me, was the amount of people that we met that had really had a burden for this particular country or this people group. Sometimes for 40 years they'd carried this burden and they'd never been to the country. And some of them it was because they'd had some contacts with the country. One guy we met, his daughter was actually killed by a person from that country and he developed a passion for the people. Some people just had met people who'd come from that country and other people it just been because they'd turned up at a prayer meeting and God had really burned their hearts. And what it showed us was that the work is so much bigger than the people who go. We're just a really small part. And actually, for at least 40 years before we'd arrived, God had been calling people from all over Europe and beyond to pray for this nation, to prepare the ground. Let me just grab my Bible. Sorry. So it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." It's a really strong battle trying to reach the unreached, where Satan has had a stronghold for a long time. And just a couple of people going is great, but you can't do it on your own and it takes a lot more. And I just wondered, as we were thinking about this morning, what if God put on some of our hearts, because most of us won't go, some of us will, but most of us won't actually leave the UK to do cross-cultural mission. But what if some of us would get a burden for a country or a people group and we say, God, I want to follow what you're doing in that nation. And it doesn't have to consume your whole life, but maybe once a week you're going to commit to praying and just listening, God, what are you doing there? And then we'll talk a bit later about what we're going to do later on, but there is a map of the world over there. Maybe you could just sit and say, God, where is it? Where are you moving? Where can I actually make an impact for your kingdom?
Great. So what we're going to do now is we're going to have some free time, okay? You are free to wait on God, to pray, to do what you like, okay, for the next 20 minutes. We have set up some inspiration for you for this time, some different stations around the room. So firstly, you'll see a map on the wall back there. There's some post-it notes on there. See what God's prayer is for different parts of the world. Write your prayer up, okay? Stick it on the wall. Spend some time waiting on God there. In the back corner, Simon and Solange have prepared some information, some pictures, some different resources from Guinea, okay? There's an opportunity to learn a little bit about some of the work that's going on there. Pray for the country, pray for the work, pray for them as a family, okay? So you can move over there and pray there. In this corner, there's some prayer stuff specifically for the Muslim world, okay? We're in the midst of Ramadan. Spend some time there waiting on God, lifting up our Muslim brothers and sisters that they might see Jesus. Down the front, Nick is going to be playing some percussion, some different percussion instruments from around the world. He's going to play. He's going to play for the next 20 minutes and worship, okay? Come and join in. Come and pick up something and hit it. You don't have to have any rhythm or talent especially. Come and just worship God through that medium for a while. And in doing that, we'll be joining in with people all over the world who are worshiping God this morning in very different ways, looking very different from how we look. Down here on the stage, we're going to lay out a load of newspaper cuttings from some of the bigger stories going on in the world at the moment. We believe that God is sovereign over these situations and that our prayers can join in with the prayers of many to affect these situations for God's kingdom, okay? Someone says, think about some of the big stories, okay? Come and read about them. Come and lift them up before God. And we'll join in with the spiritual battle that is going on in the world at the moment for God's kingdom. Also, Lucy and I will be walking around with some printed pages from Operation World. Operation World is a resource which details the situation in each country in the world, the situation of God's kingdom, and has some specific challenges for prayer. We're going to be going around and handing those out kind of at random, but we pray that God will have something in mind for each of you, okay? Take that, sit down, read it, pray about some of the challenges for prayer on that. Think, is God really challenging me to pray for this country longer term? Maybe God might put it on your heart to give that resource to someone else. God might speak to you with a word for someone else about how this person needs to really be joining in prayer for this country. Anything I've forgotten? Is that it? Oh, and around we have the art resources, okay? So the Use Me Please boxes. Maybe if they're under a chair that you're sitting on, you can lift it out and put it up on the chairs. We encourage you to be creative in this time as well, okay? God's giving you a picture about something he's doing in the world, about his heart for the world. Put that down. And then after this time, we're going to move into a time of worship, but then there'll be some time to share as well. So if God is putting anything in your heart, giving you a picture, giving you a word about something, then please write it down, remember it. We're going to make some time to share and bless and encourage each other later on in the service, okay? Also for prayer, there will be a PowerPoint going up on the screen here that is reminding us of the people that we send as a church, okay? So you can hold them up in prayer as well, okay? Maybe to start us off, why doesn't everyone, if you're able, stand up? So you're ready to move, okay? All right, God, I just want to pray your blessing on this time. Father, we invite you here powerfully by your Spirit. Would you speak to us? Lord, we want to hear from you, and we want to join in with what you're doing on the earth. Amen. Okay, go. Thank you. the band keep playing, just want to make some space now. If people want to share things that God's been saying to them, a challenge, a picture, an observation. Ugo's going to come and kick us off. But if you got something to share, come down the front, and then we'd love to hear from you now.
It's really weird when you try to think about world focus, because it's quite hard to do. I think everyone will admit that. For me, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, it became a bit more personal to me when Nigeria started to go through a big period of persecution. And it wasn't that it's just new, it's something that's always been there, but it just became a little bit closer to home. And I was there maybe a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, at the same time that the most recent bombings happened over there, and it was nowhere near where I was. But it became even more personal to me when I had people dropping me messages saying, Ugo, you're in Nigeria, and there's just been a bomb gone off, you're all right, blah, blah, blah. And it became quite pertinent to me. And a lot of the suffering that we've been reading around, a lot of the stuff that's happening as well, it's almost quite a battle to understand whether, is it because we have a lot more media now, so we know a lot more about what's going on around the world, or are things worse than they used to be around the world, or is more happening for the glory of God around the world than it used to be? But whichever one it is, it's a lot easier now to focus your prayer around the world to see what's going on and to tap into it. And I get a lot of stuff through from Open Doors, which is all about the persecuted church. And it gives you an opportunity to just think about when you sing on a Sunday, when you come here on a Sunday morning and you pray and worship. I think the songs that Kevin and the team have picked today are brilliant. Even that last one, just about sing like never before. And at your name, Yahweh. People don't used to be able to say the name Yahweh. It's that powerful. And there's people around the world, amen. There's people around the world who'd like love to have the freedom to say Yahweh, that love to have the freedom to say amen, that would love to have the freedom to raise their hands and praise God. I just want us to just think about that when we come on a Sunday or when we're living our everyday lives, just how free we are and how we can then just glorify God in a corporate worship. They're joining with us around the world and we're joining with them around the world. And so sometimes that's the only thing that gives them the comfort. So it's, I guess in conclusion, it's very easy to focus on the world now. It's a lot easier to do. I would just encourage you to do that, to do it in the freedom that we have and to share that out there. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ugo. Maybe at the end, if you feel that that's resonated with something in your spirit, you want to go and stand with Ugo, go and pray with Ugo for a little bit, that would be great. I'm going to come with Shirley.
Hi, I came to the front and I picked up a newspaper article which was all about how the marriage rates are dropping in Europe, and it talks about how that's partly because people are living together, but also it's economic realities that in lots of Europe, kids are living with their parents a lot longer. They can't afford to set up their own home, let alone have a family. And that struck me that that's two aspects to that. There's the moral aspect, the individual aspect, and then there's the institutional aspect, the economic aspect, which is something that I'm quite passionate about. And I had this picture in my head, so I went away and tried to draw it, which was actually a hand holding a fistful of money, like a fistful of dollars. And actually, but actually it's not money, it's the world. And so that's what my picture's about. And the pencil crayons weren't very sharp, so it's not very bright. But this is the picture. I'll show you the worship team, so you can see. It's a hand holding what appears to be a fistful of dollars or money, but it's actually the world. And that phrase came into my head when I was drawing it, what grips the world? And for me, that's the two things. It's the individual and it's the institutional as well, particularly the economic, because so many of the problems around the world that we read about are economic issues. And God has provided the resources, but they're not, they're kind of gathered into one place for the few, not shared for the many. And so that's what my picture was about.
This week I had a bit of a weird dream. It sounds like a horror dream, but basically it started off with these three men. They were evil looking, sort of. They'd overpowered the police. They were in the police van. The police were trying to control them, and they couldn't control them. And I'm walking along. For some reason, they've got ice skating boots. I don't know why, but they did. And they come up to me and they said, we're going to kill you. And I said, well, before you do that, can I just tell you one thing? Jesus loves you. And then the one that was most evil actually started crying. And I said, right, down on your knees, and I want you to tell Jesus you're sorry. And they actually got down on their knees and they told Jesus they were sorry. The reason for saying this dream is there is such power in the name of Jesus. Do you know what I mean? And I believe I had that dream because as a life group, we've been looking at where our mission fields are. Do you know what I mean? Because our mission is also here. And God might have been calling you to do things and you think, no, I can't do that. But there is power in the name of Jesus. And even in the darkest situation, Jesus, his name is so powerful. Like we were singing about, his name moves mountains and stuff, and we were singing that. And I don't think we realise what a powerful tool we have in the name of Jesus.
Thank you. Anyone else want to come and share?
Well, I don't feel called to any particular country. I feel that God is telling me that my mission field is my family, friends and work colleagues. And that's all that keeps coming. People who are quite well off, they rely on their own resources. And often they do have troubles, but they turn to partying, alcohol, immorality. And these people really need to know Jesus. And they are a really hard group of people to reach. And I feel that is where my mission field. I don't feel called at all to anywhere else in the world but here. So that's...
Yeah, good. Thank you. We want to affirm that as well this morning. We're not... God has a mission for everyone here, don't they? And not only that, but as Paula was sharing, we've got the power available to us to achieve the things that God is putting on our heart. These aren't impossible dreams. These are things that are possible with the power of God's Spirit.
I'm going to share something that's not my story. It is about a little old black lady who lives in Guguletu in South Africa who shared something with me, and she said, and I'll try and do her accent because I love it. She just said, oh, you must have faith as small as a mustard seed. And I remember thinking, it's all good and well. And then she started to share, and I said to her, have you got anything to share with me regarding that? She said, oh, yeah. She says, last Friday night, she said, I woke up, and I was going to go to bed, and she said, and a real fear rose up inside of me. And she said, I had a real fear about my shop, which is a restaurant that she's got for the people of the community, that it was going to be burnt down. She said, I'd had this real sense that this is what was going to happen. And she said, oh, Lord, I'm too old to go off this middle of the night and go and sort things out. I'm going to bed. I'm going to pray. You've said I've got to have faith as small as a mustard seed, and you will work on my behalf. And I'm sort of standing there going, okay, that's fine. I said, Annie, so what happened? And she said, oh, she says, no, story came back to me. She said that I prayed 10 o'clock at night. She said at 10 o'clock at night, she said, a big guy arrived at my shop, and he was going to get inside, and he was going to steal a whole lot of stuff, and then he was going to burn it down. And I said, okay, so what happened? So she said, no, word got out that he went back to a drinking house. And she said, and he said, do you know what's just happened to me? I've just got to a place that I want to actually go in and steal some stuff out of. And there was a massive angel standing in front of the place. He said, he did not talk to me. He did not say anything to me. But he said, I know that any woman is something to behold. And I just thought, you know what? Sometimes we actually don't see the God inside of us. And that inside of us is Annie, who sometimes just needs to rise up and actually say, God, I will have the faith of a mustard seed. And you will be able to work on my behalf.
Thank you. Kevin, maybe we could start playing quietly. Could I just invite everyone to stand if you're able, just as we come near the end of our service? I think it'd be good to pray. Be good to pray just to receive from God as we close. Let's pray that by his Spirit he would open our eyes to see more of what he's doing. That he would confirm the vision and the mission that he's got for each of us, wherever that is, whoever that's amongst. that he would remind us and convict us of the power that is available in his name to do these things. And that he would increase our faith, that he would give us that faith as small as a mustard seed. He would give us a renewed faith. Maybe just reach out your hands if you want to receive from God this morning. Reach out your hands and let's pray. Father, we just invite you here by your Spirit. Lord, we want more of you. There is always more of you, Lord. Lord, would you fill us? Would you equip us? Would you enlarge our vision? Lord, we want to believe for more of your glory in this city. We want to believe for more of your glory in our lives, in our workplaces, Lord, in our relationships. We want to believe for more of your glory in this country. We want to believe for more of your glory, more of your kingdom in Guinea, in Afghanistan, in China, in Africa, in Asia. Lord, the whole earth is yours. May all the people sing your praises, Lord. Lord, would you fill us up? Fill us up that we would be your hands and feet, Lord, that we would join in with what you're doing on the earth. Lord, would you bless your people now? Yeah. We're going to sing one more song as we close, but if you feel that God's saying something to you, then you can do one of two things. Either just turn to the person next to you as we're singing or after we finished and just share with them what you think God is saying. Maybe there's something that you want to put into place in the coming weeks. Something you want to change, something that you want to be held accountable to. Or if you want prayer for anything else, then please come down to the front and we'd love to pray with you. Maybe God's put a place on your heart. Maybe you've got a new burden for something. But please don't leave without praying with someone, without telling someone, doing something about it.